one of the most confusing parts of these parshas, of Shmos, Va'era, Bo, etc., is the hardening of Paro's heart. The fact that there's Kaved Lev Paro and everything that goes on. Now, I'm not positive that I got every place correct. I think I have every place down. I'm not positive that I have every place down. But as a quick, I guess you could say a precursory glance at the parsha told me that this is where everything starts from. If everybody could open up the Perek Gimel Pasuk Yud Tes, we're going to be reading through the Pesukim one after the other, and I'm going to be running through, so just follow along with me. I know, says the Kadosh Baruch Hu, that the king of Mitzrayim will not allow you to go, neither through a strong hand. Although it doesn't say that he hardened his heart, it does say that God already knew that the Kadosh Baruch Hu was not going to allow him to say yes. Perek Dalet, Pasuk Chaf Aleph, the Pasuk says, you're going to go in front of Paro, you're going to see all these signs that I've put in front of Paro. The first time HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, I strengthened or hardened his heart, he will not send out the people. That's the first time that it says the word Chizuk HaLev over here. Then Perek Zayin Pasuk Gimel, it skips all the way to this week's Parsha, Perek Zayin Pasuk Gimel. The Pasuk says, Vani Aksha Esli Paro, the only time where it uses the word kasha when it refers to Paro's name. Vani Aksha Esli Paro, I will harden the heart of Paro, Verbasia, so Sosai, that's Mosai, Ver Mitzrayim, and I will increase my signs and my wonders throughout all of Mitzrayim. This is where most of the Rishonim lie, where they talk about this. Pasuk Yud Gimel, Perek Zayin Pasuk Yud Gimel. It says, Vayechazak Lev Paro Vlosham Alehem, Kasher Diver Moshe. This is after Aaron's matet swallowed up the other matos, the heart of Paro was hardened. He did not listen to them, just like HaKadosh Baruch Hu told him. Pasuk Yud Dalet, Vayomer Hashem El Moshe, Hashem said to Moshe, Kaved Lev Paro, the heart of Paro has been hardened. The English Shalach Ami has refused to send out the people. Pasuk Kaved, this is right after Dan. It says, Vayasu Ken Kartum Mitzrayim Balatayim Vayachazak Lev Paro, the heart of Paro's heart was strengthened. Vayomer Hashem El Moshe, Hashem said to Moshe, he didn't listen to him like HaKadosh Baruch Hu said. At the end of Tzardeya, Perk Ches, Pasuk Yud Aleph. You getting it up yet? Going around. Plus you get out. It says, Vayar Paro Kyoiso Rebuffa, the half fate is Levo. Paro saw that everything was better now. He hardened his heart. Lo Shoma Lane Kashir Ribar Hashem, Jesus HaKadosh Baruch Hu told him. At the end of Kinin, plus it says, Vav, Vayimara Khartumim, and all Paro. The Khartumim said to Paro, Etzba Lukima, Vayachazak Lev Paro. After they said it was the finger of God, the heart of Paro's heart was strengthened. Lo Shoma Lane Kashir Ribar Hashem, he didn't listen to them like Hashem said. At the end of Oro, it says, Vayachfade Paro is Levo. He hardened his heart, Gamba Pamazos, even this time the Loshilach Zami didn't send out the people. Parak Tet, Pasuk Zion. It says, by Dever, by Yishlach Paro, Yenei Lokis, Meneg Meisah, that blood, not one of the Jews' cattle dies, is another way of learning that Pasuk. By Yichbat Lev Paro, his heart was hardened, but Loshilach Zami, he did not send out the people. That's at the end of Aru. Then, in Pasuk, where is it? Tet Yud Beis, at the end of Dever, this is Shchin. By Yechazak Hashem is Lev Paro. Now, Hashem hardened the hearts of Paro, Loshama Lein Kashir Yibar Hashem El Moshe, just like the Kodesh Baruch Hu said. In Pasuk Lamed Dalet and Lamed Hey, the only time where the two Lashonos come together, by Yar Paro Yechol El Matzav Abar Bakolos, everything had ended. By Yosef Lakto, he again continued to sin. By Yachbeid Libo Huba Abadav, he hardened his heart, him and his servants. By Yechazak Lev Paro and Lamed Hey, he strengthened his heart. He would not send out Bnei Yisrael like Hashem said to Moshe. Then he gets to Parshas Bo. Perek Yud, Pasuk Aleph. Vayomer Hashem Moshe, Bo Paro Ki Ani Echbadeti Es Libo V'Slev Odav. I hardened his heart and the hearts of his servants. L'man Shisiyos Tzayi L'Bekirbo, so I can put these signs among you. Pasuk Kof in the same parak. It says at the end of Arba, Vayechazak Hashem Es Libo Paro V'Lushalach Bnei Yisrael. Hashem strengthened the heart of Paro. He did not send out Bnei Yisrael. And finally, Pasuk Kof Zayin, the last time where it says that Vayechazak Hashem is Lev Paro Vlova L'Shalachon. Hashem strengthened the heart of Paro and would not send him out. Amazing, isn't it? I didn't count how many it was. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16 times. 15 times it said that he hardened his heart. I'm sure there's a word you can get with 15 and why it's 15 specifically. 15 times it says that his heart was hardened in some way, shape, or form. The first time was really just saying this is what's going to happen. What in the world? I mean, honestly, we have to say this after every makkah? After every makkah? Is that absolutely necessary, after the osios, after every single makom, it says something. And then, two other things that I want to point out over here. Number one, it's clear where Rashi got his shot from, in Perek Zayin Pasuk Gimel, where he says that the first five makos, and this is the second shot of the Ramban, but the first five makos, Paro decided on his own, and the last five makos, HaKadosh Baruch Hu did it for him. The last five makos, it kept saying the word, Mechazak Hashem eslev Paro, Vayachdid Hashem eslevo, Kichbadeti eslevo veslevo vado. Hashem is directly involved, and even though by Barad, it doesn't say God's name directly, right after Barad, in the beginning of Bo, it says, Kichbadeti eslevo veslevo vado, I did it. So it's clear where Rashi gets his shot from, because the first five makos, it says he did it himself. After those first five makos, it's clear that HaKadosh Baruch Hu was directly involved over here. Second point that I want to point out. What in the world is the difference between Kaved and Chazak? Kaved and Chazak. Now, I didn't see a parish that I especially liked that had a shot in that, but I did notice a pattern. I don't know if you heard it over here. First time it says, Achazek. Second time, Aksha. Then it says, Vayechazak. Then it says, Kaved. Then it says, Vayechazak. Then it says, Hachbed. Then, Vayechazak. Then, Vayachbed. Then, Vayachbed again. Then, Vayechazak. Then it says, Vayachbed and Vayechazak, one after the other. Then, Hichbarati, Vayechazak. And the final one is Vayechazak. These are strange. This is a very strange thing. This is not just Pashut. And I wish I knew a parish that went through every single one that explained why it changed over from one to the other. I don't. But I went into it last night, and then I started searching for all of them, and then I found all of them. I said to myself, what in the world is going on here? So I don't have a great answer. Kavit is a lashon of heaviness. Chazak is a lashon of strength. We know the opposites. The opposite of being strong is to be weak. The opposite of being heavy is to be light-headed, to be light in a certain way. It could be that both aspects were needed. That each time something happened, number one, Paro felt he had to strengthen his resolve. When he felt weak, like he was going to give in and send out Bnei Yisrael, he had to strengthen the resolve and say, no, I'm not going to let them go. He had to decide not to let them go. He had to stop himself, so to speak. And other times, his seichel actually got to him. And his seichel said to him, what are you doing? Why would you do this? He felt light-headed enough to let them go because he felt it wasn't a weakness. It was an actual seichel saying to him, this doesn't make any sense. What are you doing? And on that, he made himself heavy, refusing to think about it, refusing to consider it whatsoever. And that's maybe why he kept switching off. Each side with a different aspect of this, I don't know, this idea of strengthening / hardening his heart, making himself all heavy. That I'm not positive about. Either way, the question has to be asked, what's HaKadosh Baruch Hu doing? Why in the world would HaKadosh Baruch Hu harden someone's heart and not let them make the right decision? How could that be? And if it's possible for HaKadosh Baruch Hu to take away your heart, so to speak, to not let you make the right decisions. So how in the world, how could it be? How could it be that anybody has true Bechira? Now this is not a Shira Bechira. It's not a Shira free will. That's another subject for another time. But it's a subject of just stump. Why is HaKadosh Baruch Hu getting involved? Why not let Paro make the decisions on his own? Clearly he was able to. So why? Why would this be? The wording of the Ramban is Ma Pisho. What was his sin? What was wrong with Paro that he couldn't sit there, he couldn't make his own decisions, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu was doing it for him? The Ramban gives two answers. The first one is that he was so evil to Bnei Yisrael, so evil to Bnei Yisrael, that he deserved, his punishment was that we held back from him Darkei Tshuva. That if a person is just that evil, so bad, does such terrible things, there's no way that he will be allowed to do tshuva. HaKadosh Baruch Hu will take away, so to speak, the siyata d'shmaya that's there for a person to tshuva, he'll take it away completely. That's number one. And he says there are many psukim in Tanakh that indicate that. That's his first shot. And his second shot is that when he said no the first five times, once he said no those first five times, if he would have sent Bnei Yisrael out after that point, then he would have done so not because it was the right thing to do, not because he wanted to do tshuva, but because he was sick and tired of the makos. And there, HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, you're sending them away for the wrong reasons. I want you to do tshuva. But if you're not going to do tshuva, I'd rather you still get the makos. That way, it'll teach everybody what happens when a person refuses to listen to me. That's the idea. And now, both take work to understand it. And there are many ways of trying to understand the Ramban's Pirush all as one, meaning to take the two answers he gives, one of them being Rashi, the second one being Rashi, and combining them to make one super answer. But the answer of the Sforno goes beyond the Ramban. It takes the Ramban and adds to it. And to understand the Sforno, I have a Rebbe years ago, Reb Nachman Weiss in Beis Yisrael, that really explained it so well that just took this to another level altogether. HaKadosh Baruch Hu does not desire for Rishayim to die. He doesn't want them to die. He wants Rishayim to live and to do tshuva. But he has no desire for them to get punished. He has no desire for them to die. He wants them to do tshuva. All of these motzim, every makkah that's being done here, is being done in order to show the Mitzrayim what they need to do tshuva. You see what's happening to you? Be very afraid, because this is nothing in comparison to what's going to be. More is to come. You'll see tremendous things after this, and it's going to culminate in a makkas bechoros. And that's why they were told about makkas bechoros in the beginning. Said they would know everything is leading up to the worst part of this, says this morning. That you're leading up to that. I want you to see my greatness and my power. I want you to do tshuva. But not only for the Mitzrayim, it was for Bnei Yisrael as well. Pasukim Yeshayah's Nagot v'Rafu, that every time he plagued the Mitzrayim, it was a Rafu, a little bit of a Rafu for Klal Yisrael. And the Sforno mentions this. It's not just from the Achronim, it's the Sforno that says that every time a Makkah happened, HaKadosh Baruch Hu looked at Bnei Yisrael and said, do you get it? Do you hear a Shemayim now? Do you hear something from this? Do you get it when you see? Do you understand what I'm doing here? That's what HaKadosh Baruch Hu was doing. Now there's no doubt, says the Sforno, that if HaKadosh Baruch Hu would not have hardened Paro's heart, if he wouldn't have done so, he would have capitulated, he would have let the Yisrael go, but it wouldn't have been out of tshuva. Says the Sforno, he would have done it because he couldn't handle it anymore, and that's not tshuva, that's not the way HaKadosh Baruch Hu allows Paro to get rid of it, to wouldn't let him do so. But there's no question that if at any point, even after God hardened his heart, even after Hashem said, you won't let them go, and he did that, either the chizuk or the hakbeit is libo, or the aksha is lay paro, whatever it was that he did, everyone agrees, says the Sforno, that if Paro would have gotten up and done tshuva, if he would have said, I want to do tshuva right now, I want to work at myself, I believe that there is a God, had he said that at any point, he would have been able to, and the makos would have stopped. No question about it. Nothing could have held him back from doing tshuva. The only thing he was being held back from, the hakbeit is lay paro, the only thing he's held back from is letting them leave without doing tshuva. That God said no. You are not going to be able to send them out without doing tshuva. But if you do tshuva, says the Sforno, if you decide to do tshuva, immediately, Jews are gone, you don't have anything left. You don't have to worry about anything. The Jews are out and everything will be fine. Immediately, everything would be okay. That's how the Sforno learns. The Jews wouldn't need the Makos to learn Yiras Shamayim anymore. The Jews would learn Yiras Shamayim from the Mitzrayim. See, if Paro can do tshuva, and if Paro believes in God, if Paro is that, then Kol Shekein we do. We no longer need the Makos to get Yiras Hashem, says the Sforno. We don't need it. It's automatic. That's what would have happened had Paro ever made the decision to say, I'm doing tshuva now. But he didn't. He just wanted to let the Yisrael go so that he could stop the Makos. To that, says the Sforno, Hashem said, no, I'm not going to let that happen. That's not going to happen. Says the Sforno and adds on, this is the concept of Elisha ben Avuya. Elisha ben Avuya, one of the four tremendous Talmidei Chachamim that at one point went to Pardes. This level of learning that's beyond our physical, natural world. Rabbi Akiva, Ben Zoma, Ben Azai, and Elisha ben Avuya. Elisha ben Avuya, we all know, went up to Shine and saw Menachat, writing down the Zechuyas of Klal Yisrael, sitting with his back toward Elisha ben Avuya. And Elisha ben Avuya said, we learned that there's no such thing as an Oreb in Shemayim, no such thing as the back of a neck. We learned there's no such thing as Yeshiva in Shemayim. How could it be that there's something here that's sitting, that is his neck, his back of his neck turned to me? Must be Shtei Rishuyim. There's two gods. Immediately, Pul Sevenur were given to Matat for not standing up in front of Elisha ben Avuya, and Elisha ben Avuya was thrown down to the earth and told no one can do tshuva. Everyone can do tshuva except for Acher. Shuvu banim shovim chutz me Acher. Says the Sforno. It's the same thing with Elisha ben Avuya. If he wanted to do tshuva, it's available for him. But he won't want to. He doesn't want to. He wants to stop the punishment. He wants to make sure that he doesn't get Gehenna. That's why he's going to do something. He's going to feel bad. He's going to say something. But if Elisha ben Avuya wanted to do tshuva, if he really wanted to say, I'm done, I feel terrible. If he wanted to do tshuva, he could have. Just like Paro. The exact same idea. But he didn't want to. He chose not to. So he got nothing. He got absolutely nothing. What's the concept? What's the Sforno trying to say, and how do we apply it to ourselves? It's an unbelievable concept, and some of you have heard this from me before. You create your own matzav in this world. You create your own little world. With everything that happens, you have created your own world. A person can become so great in this world that going to McDonald's is out of the question. So great that it's no longer bechira. I have no choice on whether or not I'm going to go to McDonald's. It's not a bechira of mine anymore. Because I'm beyond that level. I'm not going to go to McDonald's. There are people who have been able to go above bechira when it comes to Shabbos. There's no question when you pass by a light that's on or off that you're going to turn it on or turn it off. You're not sitting there and saying, but I really need the light on. Maybe I should turn the light on. That's not a choice. It's beyond your bechira. You're not going to turn it on. There are people that have brought themselves beyond that. So every time they pass by a light, even if they need it on, they don't want to turn it on. Not only they don't want to, it's not even in their, it's impossible to turn it on. It's as if there's no light switch there. That's where they are. That's where they're holding. There are people, maybe not everyone, who have brought themselves beyond the level of the chira when it comes to tefillin. You can't wake up in the morning and not put on tefillin in the morning. You can't. It's impossible. When I wake up in the morning, if I wouldn't put on tefillin, I'd feel empty. I couldn't live the rest of my day. You can't get there. Even if it's later than I normally would, even if it's a little bit later than I would, but I can't go through the day without putting on tefillin. That is a bechira. If you're still in the choice of, should I put on tefillin, should I not put on tefillin? That's a low level. We brought ourselves to a level where we're beyond that. We're going to put on tefillin no matter what. That's going to happen. I have no choice in that matter. See, a tzaddik is a person who has brought himself above the chira. He's no longer choosing. He's there already. He's already in that, he's on that level, that higher level. And the point of the chira is to defeat it, to get above it, to eventually be at the point where nothing's bechira. Learning Torah isn't bechira, it's automatic. Davening isn't bechira, it's automatic. Doing chesed is not bechira, it's automatic. That's the level that we should be at, where everything we do, you have no choice but to do good. Let me ask you, is Reb Chaim Kanievsky, is he able to sin? He's surrounded by gedolim and tzaddikim and talmidei chachamim all day long. Say one day he just wants to eat something without making a bracha on it. Can he do that? Does he have that choice? It's not a choice anymore by him. It's done. He has no ability to not make a bracha on food. He has no ability to break Shabbos. He has no ability to. When he passes by a light with all the entourage that's with him wherever he goes, he can't say like, all right guys, give me a second. It's not going to happen. He has no choice to do so. And I don't mean that deep down, maybe there's a desire. I would highly, highly doubt it. But it means he's brought himself beyond the level of the hero. He can't choose to sin. It's impossible. And that's the point where we should be. We don't have to be Reb Chaim Kanievsky, but to get ourselves to the level where these things are so easy for us. So easy, it's like second nature. It's part of us. It doesn't mean that you're not thinking about them anymore. It doesn't mean you're not thinking, why am I putting on stone? Why am I putting on sense? You should be thinking about that. But that it's automatic that I will, even if I don't understand it. See, by Paro, it went the opposite way. Paro brought himself to a level where it was impossible for him to choose to send out Bnei Yisrael to do tshuva. He brought himself down so low that even if he wanted to do tshuva, he couldn't. He couldn't. It was impossible. Even if somebody said to him, Paro, you should send them out. This is ridiculous. Which happens in the beginning of Parshas Bo, the Chartumim say to Paro, don't you realize Mitzrayim is gone? We've lost Paro. Forget it. It's over. They yelled at Paro, Paro, it's over. We can't do anything. Paro had no ability to say go. He couldn't do tshuva. He couldn't let them go. It's not that HaKadosh Baruch Hu was hardening his heart, so to speak. He brought himself to the level where HaKadosh Baruch Hu was no longer in his specs. It wasn't there. Which meant that Mamela, he had a hardened heart. It doesn't mean that literally HaKadosh Baruch Hu put himself there and said, no, I'm not going to let you. It means he brought himself to the level where HaKadosh Baruch Hu wouldn't let him. That's part of the world. That's part of the world at large. He lost his Bechira to make the right decision. He lost his Bechira to do tshuva. Could he have done tshuva? Yes. Would he have done tshuva? The answer is no. He had no ability to. And that's what it means that HaKadosh Baruch Hu stopped him, and that's why it's over there. See, my idea of why the Torah has to concentrate on this and say it again and again and again and again, 15 times, to tell you that its heart was hardened, is because this is every single one of us. This is our whole lives. This is one of the most important lessons that you could possibly learn in the Torah. You can harden your heart so badly that even after the most ridiculous things happen, you don't care. It doesn't matter to you. It doesn't matter. The most ridiculous things. And it doesn't matter. You won't even think about it. Because you brought yourself to such a level where even seichel, even things that make sense, make no sense to you. You're saying, like, that doesn't make any sense to me. That's just wrong. And you're a fool. Because everybody else thinks that makes sense. But you don't think it makes sense. You could bring yourself to that level. Of course it could go the opposite way. And you could become a great person because you can use this in the right way. But for a fool, this is a death trap. You could bring yourself to such a level where you're so obstinate. You think you're so right. You can't hear what other people are telling you. You can't even hear it. You have no idea what they're saying. And it's so sad and pathetic. So sad and pathetic. Is second Seder in your Bechira when you're in finals? Is that in your Bechira? Is it a choice? Or is it so beyond a choice? Rebbe, I don't have a choice. I can't do second Seder. Where have you just put yourself? What level are you on? How is that not paro? How is that not lowering yourself to such a level? I don't have a choice anymore. I have no choice. I have to skip second Seder in order to study for finals. Where are you? What does that mean? Of course you have a choice. And it should be the opposite way. It should be that you don't have a choice. Of course I'm going to go to second Seder. There's no choice to miss second Seder. I can't miss it. So therefore I'm going to have to find some other time to study. Why wouldn't it be that way? It sounds, I know it sounds like such an impossibility, but it's ridiculous to think otherwise. This is where you are. You're either choosing like Paro, choosing in the same way Paro did, where I can only do bad, I cannot do good, there's nothing I can do about it. Or you can choose and make it a situation and eventually grow to the point where morning Seder is absolute. Second Seder is absolute. Because if you don't, make that decision. Tamimli, that when you're working and when you have kids and there's so many things going on in your life, that 1 hour Seder that you're going to be able to do every day is the first thing to go. The first thing. Or Shacharis, or Mincha, or Maariv. It's gone. There's no way you'll be able to keep it. Because if you're really making the right choice, if you're really making the right choices, the right choice is, my hour is my hour. Nothing disturbs that. Nothing goes above that. Nothing ruins that. And everything else goes around. I have no choice but to learn that hour. Everything else, maybe I could miss. Maybe I could destroy. Maybe I could get rid of. Everything else, that's the way it must be. Otherwise, you're in the level of power. I don't mean as far down. Close to it. Close to it. Because a Jew without learning every day, a Jew without davening every day, that's not a Jew. That's a Jew. It's not a Jew. That's not a Yehudi. Come on. That's not the person you want to be, and that's not the person that anyone should be. That's what it is. And this is the lesson behind this whole parsha. I have a feeling that this must be in some way, shape, or form there. And this must be connected to what it means by chizuk leh paro and hachbed leh paro. I just haven't been able to figure it out yet. That there's a chizuk and there's a hachbed that a person has in both directions when it comes to making bad decisions or bringing himself to a place where he can't make the right decision. So think about it. Think about it. You're at the end of this month right now. The end of this semester. You're going into the next semester on Tuesday. What are your decisions going to be for the upcoming year? The upcoming finals. What is it going to be? What are you going to decide? If you have a final coming up, are you missing Siddharim for it? Or can you possibly prepare for it earlier? So that you don't have to worry about it during second Seder of finals week. I know it's hard. I listen to your complaints all the time. I know. I realize how hard it's been for the past couple years. People people have done it. And those who have made the right decision, who have been here for every Seder, look at them. Look at what they've grown themselves to be. Look at what they've become of themselves. And then the other ones, where are they? And what are they doing now when it comes to their Siddharim? Think about where you are and where you're headed. Make the right decisions and bring yourself beyond those decisions in the right way. And hopefully this will be physically the other way. And that should be the source. Let's stop with that.